The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning, talking all things NFL. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
Morning, gents. How you doing?
We're doing awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, the Titans take down Cincinnati 27-3 on Sunday. Big win for the Titans, obviously, at home. Derrick Henry looks like Derrick Henry. What did that game tell you about the Titans, and what did that game maybe tell you about the Bengals and the state of things right now in Cincinnati?
Well, it was nice to see the offensive line play well. You know, Andre Dillard and, you know, Tannehill. I think it tells you what's possible offensively, you know, when the line holds together and everything clicks. It would have been nice to see that out of the gate, but I mean, it's still early, and you know, I don't think anything can be written off at this point. I don't know how much the Bengals to me. There's no question in my mind that Burrow's not healthy, and I just think we're seeing that manifest itself. I wonder if he's going to make it the length of the season. I really do. The way things are going right now for him, just how poor the offense is performing. It's not a downfield offense anymore right now. You know, T. Higgins now being banged up. Jamar Chase sounds like he's frustrated. It's just, I think everything going back to the calf injury, they probably should have shut him down. I think when you look back at it, and anytime a guy misses an expanse like that in the preseason and the coach won't really tell you anything meaningful at all about what the injury looks like. And then he clearly aggravated it again in the regular season. It feels like the wheels are coming off. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I do think the Bengals are a good team, but I also think we're getting a look at, you know, functionally what that team looks like when Joe Burrow isn't at 100%. And I just wonder what the upside is now to keep rolling him out there at this stage. If you know they lose a couple more games, I wouldn't even risk it. I'd shut him down and, you know, figure out a way to navigate the rest of the season, you know, use the draft pick to improve that offense, maybe, you know, take T. Higgins' replacement, because I don't know that Higgins is it feels like Higgins is now going to have to be written out of those plans with the contract extension that he ultimately signed. But either way, I don't want to take anything away from the Titans, because I think offensively, again, that is offensively and defensively, that is the team I thought this could be, you know, coming out of the gate. But as we talked about all season long and in the preseason, a lot of it was going to be predicated on what the offensive line could do. And now we kind of see what it looks like when they put a game together.
Let's stick in the NFC North, Charles. First of all, you know, your future Hall of Famer first ballot, Kenny Pickett, struggling a little bit right now for the Steelers. But also, you know, Matt Canada, obviously a very embattled OC, and then for like, an hour or so yesterday, I thought that his actual burner had been found, but apparently that's a very creative fan making it look like Matt Canada has a burner. I got to say, man, tip of the cap to a fan who wants that OC out. Wow.
Again, it's so funny because we were on the podcast yesterday, and before we rolled, there was this conversation about, should we talk about this? It looks like it's Matt Canada's burner. And I was like, look, you know, I don't trust anything anymore that we see on Twitter at all. Nothing. You know, I think fans are so crazy now. They're fabricating all kinds of stuff. We're seeing, like, I'm not going to name names, but for the umpteenth time, we saw a big account, you know, within the last couple of days, retweet and comment on a post that was fake, you know, about a Caleb Williams post about something Caleb Williams said. And I'm like, that's not real. and they subtweet it, and they, you know, make a comment, and then their followers, some of whom have sizable accounts, then start talking about it. And I'm like, how many times are we going to fall for this since the blue check became a purchase? Like, people keep falling into this trap. And the Matt Canada thing, it blows my mind what time fans have to waste to start something like this. And it seemed completely incredible from the start. Now, that said, I mean, they're pissed. There's no question that offensively, I don't know if there's an offensive coordinator that has a harder time in the NFL right now than Matt Canada does. And I look, it's understandable. I don't, this was not, you know, it's supposed to be a growth season for Kenny Pickett. They set expectations extremely high in the preseason with the way that they played, but I think it showcases just because of the team. I mean, they were literally perfect. They were perfect offensively in the preseason with their starting unit. And I think it showcases that you can't put too much stock into what you see in the preseason. I was one of the people that bought into it. I was like, hey, you know, it looks to me like Pickett's ready to take a huge step forward. I went through their camp. You know, I thought George Pickens was, going to blow up. I think you lose Deontay Johnson. I mean, like, some of the injuries that happened certainly didn't help, but I don't think Canada's calling a good game right now. I would say that other than maybe, like, you know, Vance Joseph, I mean, there are very few assistant coaches right now who are probably more guaranteed to not last the season than maybe Matt Canada and a guy like Vance Joseph. So, the burner thing is, and you know, that wasn't the only one. There was another, you know, that's the third, off the top of my head, it's the third coach or athlete this season who has been accused of creating a burner account. And I remember the first one of the season was,
and it's all fake. It's all fans doing it.
And it's all BS. Yeah, it's all fans. Man, I almost cussed there. Like, the first one was Deshaun Watson. I Browns Twitter. I got like calls from Cleveland radio. Like, guys are like, you know, hey, is this real? You know, Deshaun. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, some of these tweets were during the game. like he's not tweeting on the sidelines on his burner.
Like, you would hope.
Is, yeah, like, this is the greatest story in history if it turns out he is. But no, I mean, it was so ridiculous. And yeah, it's just, I just don't trust anything I see on there anymore, you know, given some of the stuff that gets fabricated now. And it's only going to get worse. So it's unfortunate that now we don't have a unless David Beckham's out there, you know, tattling on everybody, we no longer have. I don't know if you guys saw the David Beckham clip, which is one of the greatest things ever. When his wife's, yeah, the documentary, she's trying to tell, you know, the documentary crew that she grew up in a working class family. The door opens, he's like, "What car did your dad drive you to?" Cool. And he ultimately has to say it was a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
It was a great moment.
It could have been a used Rolls Royce.
It was awesome.
I mean, come on, yeah. I was like, this is great. It's like instantly a hero. he wasn't having it.
Charles, Bill Belichick, 71 years old. Patriots are off to a 1-3 start. They get embarrassed on Sunday by Dallas. There's a lot of noise around Belichick right now from Patriots fans. How do you ultimately see in this play out, both with the team this season and with his future in New England?
Yeah, again, four games that I hate. I hate doing this because it always burns me, but it's not good. I mean, I don't know. You've had back-to-back off seasons where Robert Kraft has, you know, kind of put Belichick's feet to the fire, you know, by, you know, two off seasons ago, he's saying, you know, basically, hey, we're about winning and it's important to be, you know, winning, and we can't be an organization that's not going to, we can't be an organization that's going to have issues winning games without Tom Brady. And then last off season, he gets questioned about this, you know, the Don Shula coaching mark. Don Shula, all-time wins, I think it's, what, 347, including the playoffs. And Belichick clearly was entering this season. He had an opportunity to get a good 2023, a good 2024 to break it. And, you know, Kraft was, like, supportive of it, but he was like, look, we don't talk about wanting to get good statistics for our players. You know, we want to win. And I think that was an eye-opening moment because I'm like, man, he's, you know, he clearly is saying – we got to get back to winning games, getting into the playoffs, being a competitive franchise. They don't look like that. And, you know, in the first four games, if they beat the Jets, right, and it's when the Jets are – it was probably the perfect time to catch Zach Wilson and win that game. But they've fallen the other three games behind, like, woefully, awful starts. I mean, you're down, you know – 17-3, and, you know, it just, like, you can't get out of the gate. The offense looks terrible. The personnel looks terrible. It looks like you're probably going to have to start over at quarterback, which means you're probably a rebuilding franchise. Not probably, you are. I mean, if you have to reboot with Mac Jones, you're staring at a real rebuild, depending on who the player is. And so to me, it's just, again, go back to the record without Tom Brady. It's mediocre. It's sub 500. You know, he looks like, I made the point on Twitter, this Belichick without Brady looks like the Cleveland Belichick and not the one that everyone assumes would have made the playoffs and really turned the franchise around if they hadn't moved, you know, decided to move in that final season when he was in Cleveland. But, people are like, well, we can't put him on the hot seat. I disagree. I think you can put him on the hot seat. I don't know if he has another bad year this year. I don't know if he gets fired this next off season, but it puts Kraft in a really difficult position because they have a lot of cap space. They have to figure out, you know, what they're going to do at the quarterback spot. And if you give them one more off season and Belichick, the GM, is bad again, I don't know how much further behind the eight ball you're putting the organization at this point. So it's bad. And I ended up writing a piece just saying, like, It's difficult for Kraft because there's not a great playbook on how to part company with an icon like this. And, you know, it's the way it was done with Landry and Jerry Jones. Jones kind of had the out because he bought the franchise, didn't handle it well, but it was completely different than like a Wayne Huizenga who had to deal with Don Shula, the Rooney family who kind of had to deal with Chuck Knoll at that point, where they were more sort of like pushing, like, you know, retire. like we don't want to fire you. Like, we really need you to retire and make our life easy, which both of those guys did. I don't know that Bill would make it easy on Robert Kraft and retire.
This sounds like something you may be writing, eh?
Well, I already wrote it.
Oh,
thank you,
sorry,
for reading, though.
Ah, I can't thank you.
Yeah.
When did you post it?
Thanks for keeping up. I don't know, Joe. It's been up for at least 24 hours, 48 hours.
Well, Twitter just Twitter just puts pictures up now. You can't see that something's a link anymore.
It's the worst.
It's not my fault. Let's like, blame Elon for everything.
I'm staring at tweets now, and I'm like, should I click on this? Like, I don't know what this is. Like,
it's a picture.
So now we have to write headlines in our tweets for the pictures that are getting posted. Awesome.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports.
All right, Charles, just found out that Jonathan Taylor is speaking to reporters today. How exciting. What do you make of that whole thing? Is he playing? Is he going to tear it up Sunday for the Colts? Is there some bridges being rebuilt? Is he Did Jim Irsay let him, you know, like strum the Jimi Hendrix guitar? Like, where are things here?
Well, look, I think nothing's really changed other than he's had time to sit there and look outwardly at realistically the trade market. Miami doesn't look like a slam dunk destination anymore, does it? just give it a few weeks, and I mean, some of those suitors look like they can manage without him. I still think Green Bay could use him, but I think there are a couple of things here. Number one, nothing's changed for him and Jim Irsay. Okay, like it's the owner said what he said. The money is what it is. He still wants the contract extension. I think he's still clearly upset that you know he's in a position here where he's not going to get that money, barring unless something's changed the last couple of weeks that I haven't heard about. He's not going to get that money, barring having a Christian McCaffrey type performance the rest of the season, which means he's got to be on the field. Now that said, I think he's had a chance to look at what that Colts offense could be. I think Anthony Richardson has showcased that the ceiling is real. If he can, keep himself from getting drilled from one play to the next, there's a ton of growth to be had there, and it can be a better offense with Taylor in there than, Taylor not. But, I think just the bigger reality is every other running back that he's talked to, by the way, because they're all on this thread and they all talk nonstop now, they've all taken L's. Saquon Barkley took an L. Josh Jacobs. What's going on with Josh Jacobs right now with the Raiders? He's taking an L. Austin Eckler took an L. Everybody who took a stand in some way has lost, ended up injured, is not as effective as they were. And, one approach you could sit there and go, okay, well, you got to put your foot in the dirt when you have the opportunity because, look, these guys caved, and on the other side of it, they're having – really messed up 2023s, and that's going to change their value moving forward. On the other side of it, you could also he's in jeopardy here. And I think looking back at what happened prior to him being deactivated, his agent and Taylor probably misread the market as poorly as you'd probably have to go back to Le'Veon Bell. I can't remember a time where a running back and an agent misread a trade market as badly as, or a financial market as badly as Taylor and his agent did. So there has been, I think, some sobering reality. I don't know though, whether or not that means he's going to step back on the field. I do know that if he doesn't, he's eventually going to face suspension because the team's not going to go through, a scenario where he's holding in and not stepping on the field because of an injury that they simply don't believe is real.
Charles, we got a juicy one on Sunday Night Football coming up. The Niners and the Cowboys, San Francisco, yeah, you can make an argument, been the best team in the league so far this year. Dallas, even with Diggs going down, great defensive performance on Sunday against the Patriots. How big of a game is this in your mind for Dallas specifically, who has been eliminated by San Francisco the last 2 years in the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm actually going to be going to that game. I mean, for Dallas, as you said, I mean, it's massive. It's huge. There's no question that this is the bugaboo. This is the team they can't get by, and they're sick of it. And I don't know if you saw the Dak Prescott clip, but he got asked by Todd Archer from ESPN about this following their win over the weekend. And Dak was basically like, are you trying to piss me off? But I do think there's some, it's real. I think they're frustrated that this is a team they feel like stands between them and realizing the potential of the roster and the coaching staff. And they know this is a measurement game. They walk out of this game, losing or getting throttled by the 49ers. Everyone's going to sit there and go, okay, well, I mean, it's just the same old Dallas. This is the Dallas that is going to go into the playoffs, and regardless of how good the roster is, they're going to get outcoached, or they're going to get outperformed by, a quarterback who shouldn't be outperforming Dak, a defense that, look, when you measure the defenses, I think to me, when Dallas was fully healthy, I think Dallas is a defense that's got an edge on San Francisco. The problem is you lose Diggs for the season. And, I don't know at some point, I think that's going to rear its head, you know, and because you can't lose, particularly the way Diggs was playing, you can't lose a top five, six cornerback at that point in the season when he goes down. That's the level he was playing at, and not suffer the consequences. So this is just that moment where Dallas can show everyone else what they can be on the road. And I just, you know, I wonder if they're going to bring in Randy Gregory. It makes sense, I think, that if there's any franchise out there that could still squeeze something out of Gregory at this point, it would be the Cowboys. And by the way, this is a huge game, I think, for Dan Quinn, because Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, is going to be at the top of even being a defensive coach. I think he's going to be at the top of most coaching lists this offseason. And, you know, I think this right here is probably what he staples to the front of his resume. This, and then obviously whatever they do in the playoffs, is probably what he staples to the front of his resume if they can have an impressive game and, you know, come out of San Francisco, I think, being the class of the NFC if they win this game.
All right, last thing, very important. What's your analysis of the NFL's embrace of Taylor Swift, the broadcast of the Jets game, Taylor Swift?
I mean, I don't remember, other than they needed Jay-Z, like the opposites were so jacked up. They were like, we got to figure out a way to do a deal with Jay-Z to fix this optics, you know, crisis we're having a couple of years ago. I don't know there's ever been a single individual that they have leaned into this hard. And it's funny to me that, you know, Travis Kelce comes out on the podcast and says, you know, they're probably overdoing it. Well, yeah, they're definitely overdoing it. But I think monetarily, when you just look at the data, what it's been worth for the league, it's no surprise. And if she continues to show up to games, they're not going to back off. They're going to hammer that as long as they can. Because who knows how long the two will be together at the stage. And who knows what's going to happen if they break up. You know, it's just, if they're even together, I guess, we're still asking ourselves. But, it was funny because Jory Epstein from our place was there. And she takes this video of Taylor Swift coming in.
Yeah, I saw her video pregame.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm texting her. I'm like, you know, Ryan Reynolds is very prominent in your video.
You ever heard of Hugh Jackman?
Also, yeah, I'm like, he's also an A-lister. And I swear to God, Jory's like, I'm Googling who Ryan Reynolds is.
Oh,
right
my
now.
God, are you
I'm
serious?
Like, yeah, I swear to God. Like, how is that possible? Oh, I'm like, how do you not know who Ryan Reynolds is? Yeah, it was
Deadpool.
Well, that's definitely not in Jory Epstein's wheelhouse.
She's it's
not,
a new movie.
I would not say she's not a comic book movie type, but yeah, it was. I thought it was pretty entertaining. If I was Usher, let's do this. If I was Usher and I'm doing the Super Bowl halftime show, I would go to the league right now and I'd be like, $25 million, I'll pull out. I will not do the Super Bowl halftime show. Just cut me $25 million large, and you can go ahead and have your Taylor Swift halftime show to complete this opus in the Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm sure everybody's sick of it. There's no question everybody's sick of it.
I'm not sick of it. I'm sick of people complaining about it.
See, I tried to tell him people were sick of it earlier.
It's fine.
He wasn't having it.
Everybody's whining about it.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
It's funny because I do think Jason Kelce made the point when he and Travis were on their podcast, and I think he's 100% right. He was like, the NFL doesn't know how to act with this level of celebrity. Like, they just don't know. They're unaccustomed to having a superstar at this level show up to games, and he was talking about the NBA. He's like, the NBA knows how to do it. Like, they have all these huge celebrities, massive celebrities show up to games. They sit courtside. He's like, you cut to them a couple of times. That's it. They're there. Boom. And then you move back to what the product is. He was like, the NFL doesn't. They have no clue how to do that with a person at this level of stardom. But, I will ask you guys this. Let's go ahead and have a slightly extended conversation. Do you think Taylor's getting anything out of this?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean,
Probably a little bit.
I mean, she's the number one star in the world already, but maybe a few
already,
people,
right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, she's.
I think maybe she's getting love out of this. Isn't that what it's all about when it comes down to it, guys?
Sure. All right. As we all know, that's what these couples are always about.
Yes.
You know, there's no question any of this was ever fake.
Oh, man. You think we don't have time for this, but you think this might be fake?
No,
she's out there hanging out with his mom.
Yeah, no, I don't. But I enjoy the people. I don't know how Hollywood works. I mean, you know, I don't cover Hollywood, but anybody, you know, you and I know people who, we've
hung out with Hollywood stars.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
we know. I rode an elevator with Gabrielle Union. It was cool.
That's right. We did. We did go to a wedding that Gabrielle Union was at. I don't know. I don't know how much of this stuff is created and, you know, but she doesn't need it. That's the thing. It's not like the people that say it, I'm like, what is she really? She doesn't need to create this. She already has it. She has everything she could want. So I think it has to be real.
I think
but
she
I like
wants LD from McMinnville as a fan.
Yes. Yes. On her text line.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She's really, she's like, I need the belly button picking portion of America to now also listen to my record.
Oh, man. That's right. Now you sound like Evan Neal.
Shout
easy
out to
there,
LD.
Buddy.
615. Charles, thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk to you next week and have a good weekend. Enjoy San Francisco.
All right. Take care, guys.
See ya. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road.
Belly button picking.
Was that a shot at LD, do we think?
I may be. I said LD, and he said belly button picking, wow. So I think that's a direct shot at LD in the text line.
LD, your response, 615-737-1025. Charles said a lot there. We'll react to it coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years.
See, Nick, you have no idea what you've done here. So this is serious Alan Parsons project. This is the Chicago Bulls intro song. Bulls, by the way, training camp in Nashville.
Yep.
Here's the thing, Nick. I think you thought you were trolling me, right?
No, I'm not. Thinking I'm trolling.
Oh, well, that would have been a good troll because I grew up a Pistons fan. But here's the thing. This was the intro song at my wedding when they introduced us at our wedding party. And there were multiple groomsmen pissed off at me. They're like, you did the Bulls intro song? And I'm like, well,
it's a great song.
It's a good song.
Now I have to do this in May when I get married.
Yeah.
You could. Yeah, you could. The one thing that we had to keep looping it, though, because it's like, you're introducing it, and then it's like,
and it's pretty quick.
And you go, dit, 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 and then you have to keep redoing it. So that's one thing
Michael
to keep
Jordan.
In mind. Yeah. And now from North Carolina. That was kind of a misplay. But I thought I was cool with it. I was fine with it.
Yeah. Charles throwing strays to LD from McMinnville.
My goodness.
The end there.
Speaking of the text line, here on the text line with Robbie and Rex Road.
Yes.
Gentry from Nashville. Says, God forbid you guys check this text line during the show, but let's not forget that Jared picked the Steelers to win the AFC. I honestly didn't realize he picked the Steelers to win the AFC.
He did.
Is that right?
That is right.
Jared, a great example of how important those preseason football games are. They're so important. You get those guys out there and you get that work in. Oh, man. It tells you so much, too.
They're at 500, man.
Sure.
2-2.
Sure.
They rank very poorly in every offensive category, but they're 2-2.
Eat that, Carl Lewis!
I mean, to be fair, they'll probably throttle the Titans on Thursday Night Football. But right now, we can make fun of Jared.
Steelers-Ravens this week. According to some, the biggest rivalry in football. I don't know that I buy that.
What is the biggest rivalry in the NFL?
In the NFL? Oh, I think that's probably cyclical, right? Like at one point,
yeah,
it was...
Of course it is.
Patriots... Colts.
Right
Colts now,
was great.
I mean, honestly, right now, I think it's Chiefs Bengals, but that's me. Just with Burrow and Chiefs and Burrow and Mahomes, and they've been in the AFC title game 2 years in a row.
I think it's Chiefs, and then whoever rises up to challenge. Like I think, like Chiefs Bills to me a year ago, I would have said to you, it's Chiefs Bills, and a year ago I was like convinced the Bills were going to win it all.
I mean, but even that year with that playoff game, they played the Bengals in the AFC title game.
No, I know. But I'm just saying it, right. But I'm going to say, like, a year ago I would have said that. And now what you say makes sense, except the Bengals may stink this year.
They might.
Niners-Cowboys I mean, it's not.
I mean, historically in the NFL,
it has been a great one.
Yeah.
It is a game I'm really looking forward to. But there's not a – I mean, honestly, when I grew up, to me, absolutely, it was Washington-Dallas.
Yeah,
great,
for sure.
Great rivalry.
I mean, if you ask the NBC execs, it would be Cowboys-Giants because every time they play each other, they're on Sunday Night Football. So
that's true. That is
There's a lot of Cowboys-Giants.
I mean, I do feel like it should be in division. You know, ideally, it should be intra-division. It doesn't have to be, but – like the Raiders, Chargers, as I date myself, in the early 80s with Fouts and Plunkett, man, yeah. That was always the 4 o'clock game, like they played every week in my memory.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Oldest rivalry in the league is Packers-Bears.
Yeah, that's quite a
– heck of a competition
you,
lately.
You like bringing that one up.
Sure do.
Maybe Lions-Packers is the maybe, new –
well,
here we go.
Not much of a competition lately either.
Yeah, that's true.
Packers got to do some winning. It was interesting – to get Charles's perspective on the Jonathan Taylor part of this. This is going to be really fascinating. Like, if he is healthy on Sunday and he's able to play physically, what does that look like? Because I agree with Charles. Like, it's clear. We talked about this at the time. His agent, you know, Jim Irsay is his own.
His agent's bad.
His agent's bad. Like, his agent totally botched this. And, you know, not that Jim Irsay did anything to help things out here, but it was such a misread of the market. Like, it's the running back market in general in terms of the contract you're looking for and then the trade. Like, it's one thing to not be happy with the money that you're being offered, but you then think somebody's going to turn around and, like, try to offer up a second-round pick plus the contract that you want to be paid in order to get Jonathan Taylor services. Like, it was just such a bad misread of the market. I don't know if it was as bad as Le'Veon Bell's, but it's an interesting comparison. It's pretty close that Charles threw out there.
Yeah, and so with all that information then, what does it mean for Jonathan Taylor in the big picture if he sucks it up and says, you know what, I'm rallying with my teammates, like these coaches, and the business is separate, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to do everything I can to help this team win? Does that ultimately help him?
I don't think so.
Yeah, like, it should,
but I don't think
in a just world it would. But yeah, it's the same.
But I don't really think there's anything that does help it. Like, the running back market, just it is what it is. And look, you know, there was the whole franchise tag part of this with Saquon Barkley, and he ends up, I think, making $1 million more than he normally would on a 1 year deal, and he immediately gets hurt. Austin Ekeler was whining all offseason about the running back market. He plays one game and immediately has been hurt. Like, not only, as Charles has said, have the running backs lost in the way that this has played out for them financially, but also, like, there are several examples that the owners can point to and be like, yeah, that's why we don't pay the running back, because they're hurt all the time.
Right. Yeah. But if I'm a Colts fan, and that's another really interesting thing about this, is, like, just if he plays, the reception and all this stuff. I mean, look, I personally – I would love to see him cheered because, again, I mean, I just typically want to side. I side with players over ownership. But also, I just feel like I think his agent botched this. And, look, you hire an agent, and you that person is supposed to navigate these things for you. I mean, Jonathan Taylor hasn't talked forever. It's going to be really interesting to hear what he says today.
Yeah.
But as a Colts fan, I mean, again, if you're okay winning this year, maybe you're not, but if you are okay winning this year, it could be fun to have him back and just, hey, like, have the best possible season you can. Bygones be bygones. You're not going to be here. They'll move you when they can or whatever happens. That may be an irreconcilable relationship, but go play football.
Well, I would love to know, like, if you're Jim Irsay, do you want him to play Sunday? Like, do you still want to trade him at some point this year, or do you want him to play and help your football team try to win this game? I don't know what the answer to that is. Like,
that's the thing. I still think that, like, I still think for at least some people in the league, some GMs, owners who are looking at this situation, I think it would help Irsay. Obviously, he could get hurt if he plays. But I think it might help Irsay move him, or the Colts move him, if he plays.
And plays well.
And plays well, and people see that and say, okay, he's a pro. You know,
yeah,
after all this
I just
crap, he's
where
a pro.
Go though. Like, at this point, like, the Miami part of this dead. They're running for 350 yards without him.
Yeah, so no, they are
Miami's
good.
Not doing it.
They're good.
So if it's not going to be them, And I guess it could be Green Bay.
It's your squad, man. Come on.
But I know that general manager. He's not giving you hardly anything for it. So are you doing that if you're the Colts?
Well, that's the thing. We talk about this all the time in terms of the reality for Jonathan Taylor, and it is a harsh reality. Well, there's a reality for the Colts, too, and it is, you know what? Get what you can get, to me.
Yeah.
It's not going to be great.
What if it's like a fifth rounder or sixth rounder?
Yeah. Well, you didn't pay the running back.
Yeah.
I mean, right? You moved on. I don't know. I think it would be worth it, especially if it's, as Charles said, and I don't know why it would be any different, if it's as bad as it is, like if you hate management that much, there have been examples of players who hate the owner and outwardly hate the owner and still like suck it up and draw the paycheck, but I think you'd be best moving on.
615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans and the Colts, that matchup on Sunday. We'll take your thoughts all things NFL, reaction to Charles Robinson as well. All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Make your silly underdog picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 6 of college football and week 5 of the NFL. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Colts, taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. This is a really interesting matchup for this team. We went through the Anthony Richardson part of this earlier. We had James Boyd on from The Athletic. If you missed that interview, check it out. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, search Robbie and Rex Road, and you can pull that up. Good insight on the Colts from James Boyd from The Athletic. Richardson has made some plays this year where he's looked pretty good, pretty dynamic, and you watch it and you're like, wow, that's why he was taking number 4 overall. Also, at times, just looked like a rookie. You would think, that Joe, that given the Titans' defense – where their health is at right now, which is in a really good spot. They've got a lot of guys that have played a lot of football for them on the defensive side of the ball, and Mike Vrabel is their head coach. I think this should be a game where they should be able to take advantage of Richardson's inexperience. Got to make sure you contain him in the running game, which is easier said than done, but I expect the Titans' defense to continue to play well. You know, they played well against Cincinnati. I expect them to follow that up again this weekend. Maybe not 3 points like they did, but this should be a game where the Titans' defense is able to play pretty well in this game.
Yeah, they got to build on what was a very good performance. It was a very good performance, and it was a little bit deceiving, in my opinion, because the quarterback was very limited. And it was very much a sitting duck, rush the quarterback kind of game. And also, not too concerned about downfield shots kind of game. Still, they played well, okay? They played well.
Yep.
So you're fine on the health front for the most part. You got Tier Tart with a toe. But other than that, the defense, I mean, I'm sorry to say this out loud, but I'll go ahead and knock on this for you, Titans fans. But, I mean, incredibly healthy
Pretty healthy right now,
this defense, you know? Are. And so, you know, like Autry, not, I think Autry, Danico Autry has been on the report in some form all along. He's not on it yesterday. We'll see today, but pretty good. And you know what Danico Autry does consistently anyway, but I think especially against the Colts.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that Jeffrey Simmons loves seeing Quentin Nelson across from him, the, you know, proclaimed at one point strongest man in the NFL. Jeffrey Simmons has enjoyed that at times. You got Travis Gibson now becoming a factor. I actually thought Rashad Weaver, you know, showed up some last week. Obviously, you're trying to give Landry a little more rest.
But hopefully him getting healthier, too, in the process of that and looking more like Harold Landry.
Yeah. And then, you know, Arden – I mean, there's depth. The secondary now has some continuity, and they played well last week. Yeah. Not only should the Titans be able to keep the Colts' score down in this game, the Titans should be able to induce a mistake or two out of Anthony Richardson. I think they need to. And I think if you do that, then, you know, then you have a really good chance to win this game. I think the Titans offense should do well. The offense is the thing that really has been just so all over the map.
Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our third co-host of the program, Adam in Portland, this morning.
But he's talking, not texting.
Adam, how are you?
I'm happy to be back, guys. No, so I'm pretty confused here. But why why would the Colts rush Anthony Richardson back? I think Gardner Minshew, he's not trash. Like, I like him. I would have took him as a backup quarterback, honestly. Like, I like his swagger, but, like, dude is actually a pretty decent quarterback. And he won a game a couple weeks ago, right? Like,
yeah.
Why would you rush a rookie back in there that's in concussion protocol? Like, it's almost like Ursay's like, nah, dude, we got to sell tickets. So, just the dumbest thing ever. It's such an Ursay thing to do, but I would not rush him back.
Well, I mean, he cleared protocol, right? So, I mean, he got out of the protocol part of it, and then there's...
Yeah, like, if you're resolved to play him this year, then you play him when he's healthy, right? I think.
Yeah, but I mean, just give him a minute. I don't know. I just think it feels weird to me. It's not like, you know, his job's in jeopardy or anything. That's not what I'm saying. It's just I wouldn't rush somebody. I mean, you just see people like... I can list a bunch of names of people that had concussion issues their whole career.
Sure.
And it's like, man, I want to get him as far away from that as possible.
Yeah, no, yeah. Thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, I understand the thought there for sure. Like, you want to make sure he's ready to go. But, I mean, I do think that's why the concussion protocol's in place the way it is, and he had to get through all those hoops. Now, the one thing that I will say on that front is there probably has been a conversation with Anthony Richardson about, hey, try to avoid putting yourself in situations like that as much as you can. Like, you love the competitiveness. Obviously, he's got the ability to run at a high level, so you don't want to take that away from him. But there is, like, it's not as good as the SEC is. It's not the SEC anymore. It's the NFL. You got to find a way to protect yourself
right.
A little bit better.
Don't act like Josh Allen, who thinks he's a fullback out there
right.
And apparently has a head made of cement. Slide and get out of the way. But, no, I mean, I'd play him. I mean, there's the other discussion about this is the whole, like, rookie sitting, rookies playing,
yep.
Ruining someone. Hey, you know what? Learning on the job and doing a lot of good things, I think this will benefit him. Don't know where he'll end up or what he'll end up being, but it's been pretty good. It's been better than – certainly, like, when even, like, all through the draft process, if you told me Anthony Richardson would be playing like this through four games, I would be pretty stunned.
I would, too. Like, I thought there was – of all the quarterbacks, probably including Levis – that I thought should sit, Anthony Richardson was at the top of the list
yeah.
For me. And he's proved me wrong to this point. He's looked pretty good. I mean, is he going to be better than Bryce Young? You willing to go there yet?
Well, Bryce, listen.
Young's in a terrible situation.
I've seen some of these rankings of the rookie quarterbacks. Go look what Bryce Young's best receiver is Adam freaking Thielen, okay?
And his coach is Frank Reich, which I still don't understand.
That may be also not great. No, he's a terrible situation. I mean, even Stroud with, like, Nico Collins and those guys, like, and I think a good scheme has got a much better situation than Bryce Young does. And Richardson does, too. So, y'all leave Bryce Young alone. He'll be just fine. This will be just like Tua.
So, you going Richardson over Young or no?
No. Oh, heck no. Oh, no. No, Bryce Young, I'm absolutely not – no change at all.
Okay.
He's going to be a great player. You gotta help him. You got to get him receivers and a lot of other things, too.
They're talking about trading for a receiver. Even though they're 0-4,
yeah,
they're talking about like trading.
Have you ever heard of Marvin Harrison Jr.? Wait for him. Hey, David Scobie and his dad Martin here all day for 3 hours of this show.
Made it through.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you survived.
Stewart Street Middle School cross country star runner.
That does it for us today.
Is that right, star runner?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll go with that.
He's like, yeah, it is right.
That's right. Yeah.
That does it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.